Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you this 18th day of October 2005. We welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today, and we want to quickly check the weather for you if you're on your way to work.
Sorry about that. In Greenville, Spartanburg, 52 degrees. Downtown, 49 degrees. Anderson's 46. Clemson, 49. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour.
All right. Any no funny quotes or quips for this half hour? It must be something to say.
Yes, we have a quote. We do have a quote. It's by someone that's anonymous. Politicians are like diapers. They should both be changed frequently and for the same reason.
Okay. Well, that is actually pretty good. Politicians should be changed frequently and that for the same reason. Okay. Well, we have so much stuff going on today. The weekend backed up and yesterday weren't able to be on the air because of some technological issues. We apologize for that, but we're glad we're on the air this morning. And, well, so many things going on. Well, just for instance, some of these headlines that were just amazing. A neo-Nazi march causes riots. This is off of Fox News. Neo-Nazi march causes riots. Toledo, Ohio, protesters at a white supremacist march threw rocks at police, vandalized vehicles and stores, and cursed the mayor of the for allowing the event. Mayor Jack Ford said when he and local minister tried to calm the rioters Saturday, they were cursed, and a masked gang member threatened to shoot them. At one point, the crowd reached 600 people, officials said. Rioters set fire to 86-year-old Louis Radoski's neighborhood pub, Jim and Lou's Bar. Ooh. But he and his nephew escaped the flames. To be honest with you, there aren't enough police to take care of them, he said. At least 65 people were arrested, and police officers were injured before the calm was restored about 4 hours later. Ford blamed the rioting on gangs taking advantage of the volatile situation, declares a state of emergency, set an 8 p.m. curfew through the weekend, and asked for a highway patrol for help. At least two dozen members of the National Socialist Movement, which calls itself America's Nazi Party, had gathered at a city park to march under police protection. Organizers said they were demonstrating against black gangs, and they were harassing white residents. So here are the socialists. Some people don't know this, but the idea of Nazi is the National Socialist Party that was in Germany. Nazism or fascism is another branch of Marxism. You see, there were two main branches, the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. And the Nazis took the Menshevik side, but the Russians took the Bolshevik side, became the famous groups that they were. Both created horrible despots, murderers, such as Hitler and Stalin. Stalin being, Lenin started first with the Bolsheviks, killed off all his comrades. They were very brutal people themselves, but because they were in favor of violent revolution. And then they went to, of course, Stalin, and we know what Stalin did. After that, we ended up having, in Hitler's case, the Menshevik Party leading to the atrocities of that whole regime. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. What communism, Marxism do in the world? It's an awful, awful, scandalous thing, a part of our history. And here we have in America these people. Of course, they're going to try to say that, these people were, I don't know, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't say it was Christians, really, or that, who's to blame is not really socialism. It's these right-wingers, these crazy people on the right. Well, here's another story, and that'll be sad if that happens, by the way. That was on Fox News on the weekend. Long Island school cancels the prom. Doesn't want to sponsor an orgy. Now, when I first saw this, I thought it was another one of these public school deals, but apparently it's not. Apparently this is a Catholic school. This goes to show that Catholic schools are by no means free of the problems that are in public schools. Uniondale, New York, Brother Kenneth M. Hoagland had heard all the stories about prom night debauchery at his Long Island High School. Students putting down $10,000 to rent a party house in the Hamptons. Prom cocktail parties followed by a trip to the dance in a liquor-loaded limo. Fathers chartering a boat for their children's late-night booze cruise. Enough was enough, Hoagland said, so the principal of Kellenberg Memorial High School called or canceled the spring prom in a 2,000-word letter to parents this fall. It's not primarily the sex, booze, drugs that surround this event, as problematic as they might be. It's rather the flaunting of affluence, assuming exaggerated expenses, and a pursuit of vanity for vanity's sake, in a word, financial decadence, Hoagland said, fed up with what he called the bacchanalian aspects. Each year it gets worse. It becomes more exaggerated, more expensive, more emotionally traumatic, he added. We're withdrawing from the battle and allowing the parents full responsibility. Kellenberg is willing to sponsor a prom, but not an orgy. So he's not as concerned about the sex, booze, and drugs as he is about the flaunting of affluence here, but this Catholic school no longer has a prom because it just became an orgy. Isn't that what Catholic schools are all about? Orgies. Amazing. Well, it isn't, unless you understand the Catholic religion. I mean, the Catholic religion is a false religion. It's a pagan religion. It's a religion that leads people to hell. And here, you know, this is just demonstrating their true colors. I mean, so we're not really that surprised. All right, here we have a judge sued for ordering no speech zones. This was on WorldNet Daily. A judge who declared all the public areas of the Los Angeles County courthouses no speech zones has been hit with a federal civil rights lawsuit. According to the complaint filed Thursday, a general order issued September 13th by California Superior Court Judge William McLaughlin prohibits such free speech activities as picketing, distribution of literature, and demonstration. The courts are supposed to be protecting our First Amendment rights, not suppressing them, said Mike Johnson, senior legal counsel for Alliance Fund. So here you've got people telling Christians and others they can no longer picket. Two Christian ministers have been peacefully sharing their faith in, most mornings for at least 2.5 years outside the Los Angeles County Courthouse in Bellflower. And for 20 minutes each morning, Comfort and Zwaney will talk with people outside before the courthouse opens for the day. They have never caused any disturbance for the court for uninterested persons, ADF insists. So here you go. The new no speech zone now is preventing people from preaching the gospel or sharing the faith with others outside of the courthouse. What's the world coming to, you say? Well, it's coming to this, folks. It's tyranny. We're losing what we had in the American Republic. All right, then we have here a couple other interesting stories to bring up. There's a Harriet Meyer story. We'll come to that. And there's actually a couple Harriet Meyer stories, aren't there? Harriet Meyer is going to be in the news for a while. We have several people chirping up and talking about them. I got this interesting voting records email from someone on the records of Islamic states. Voting records for them are as follows. It says, below are the actual voting records of various Arab Islamic states, which are recorded in both the U.S. State Department and United Nations records. Kuwait votes against the United States 67% of the time. Qatar, 67% of the time. Morocco, 70% of the time. UAE, 70% of the time. Jordan, 71% of the time. Tunisia, 71% of the time. Saudi Arabia, 73%. Yemen, 74%. Algeria, 74%. Oman, 74%. Sudan, 75%. Pakistan, 75%. Libya, 76%. Egypt, 79%. Lebanon, 80%. India, 81%. Syria, 84%. Mauritania, 87% of the time. And then U.S. foreign aid to those that hate us. Egypt, for example, after voting 79% against the United States, still receives $2 billion annually in foreign aid. Jordan, 71% of the time against, receives $192 million annually in foreign aid. Pakistan, 75% against the United States, receives $6,721,000. That's nothing. Okay. And India gets $143 million. Well, maybe if we gave them more, they'd change their votes. Actually, the problem with this kind of analysis, folks, is that we don't really know if they're voting against the United States is bad. I mean, it's just sort of a presumption here. Well, it must be bad if they're voting against the United States, the hand that feeds them. We're not giving them that much money on a national scale in the first place. But the interesting thing here is that maybe the United States needs to be opposed on some of these things. And maybe it's not so bad that they're opposing the United States 70% of the time. Maybe we should be opposing 70% of what the United Nations does in terms of what the United States suggests. Why not? So I don't know. That's an interesting sort of piece, and it shows that Arab nations vote against what we're what the United States government does. Doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, though. Interesting question, isn't it? Well, what else have we got going on here on new Fox News this morning? Well, of course, we had the wonderful Albert Pujols stepping up to the plate. Last night, I watched the game late there on the internet as it was scrolling by and saw that he, with two outs, I think he even had a strike against him, a man on first and second, down 5-3 and about, or I think it was 4-2 and about to be put out of the National League Championship Series. He powers a home run and, they end up going to win the game 5-4. So the Astros thought they were going to clinch in Houston, and the Astros, who of course put the Braves down, are not going to do so. Our Angels from Southern California, of course, failed us to the Chicago area White Sox. So we have to say that the White Sox were definitely showed themselves to be the better team and have did a great job. In the other parts of sports, of course, the Southern California Trojans were able to fend off the Papists in a rather dramatic manner on Sunday. Some people around here don't care about that game, but for some of us, it was very important that the Trojans were able to do this. Of course, by pointing out the Notre Dame club is the Papists, which is true, doesn't say that the University of Southern California is necessarily a godly institution itself. I wouldn't want to suggest that whatsoever. Although I did talk to one of the pastors at our church, and he claims he saw Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush at least bow. It looked like they might have been praying during the game. Could be. Just because they are at the University of Southern California does not mean they're not Christians. So interestingly enough, that occurred. Take that for what it's worth. And he wasn't making any solid claims, by the way, just pointing out that he thought they might have been praying. All right, then we have Greece confirming a bird flu case. So he went from Turkey over to Greece now, and now we're in the main part of Europe, so we'll have to see what goes on from there in this whole scam about the bird flu. It sounds like they're going to use it to bring martial law into this country, it seems to me. We'll find out. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Christian Exodus event, which was on Sunday. It had so much press. Some of you may have heard some of this press already, and we'll be discussing that here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. But one of the people who spoke, Dr. Court, had actually predicted there would be, within the next month or so, 10 nuclear bombs detonated in the United States in major cities, and that terrorism would continue to go forward. He didn't know for sure, of course. He just said it'd be likely by the 29th of October, the 30th maybe. If it wasn't then, it'd be the 24th of November. And then if not then, maybe they would do it later. But he had confirmed reports that Osama bin Laden has 20 nuclear weapons he plans to use against the United States. So I don't know if that's just a bunch of nonsense that he's received in terms of intelligence in order to make us afraid and then therefore go on and support George Bush even more and give him more powers over us, or whether or not it's true. Well, I guess we'll find out shortly, but in short order, at any rate. That was one of the things that went on during the conference. We had some other interesting discussions there with different people and heard some different conference speakers and so forth. Of course, yours truly was not necessarily the least of those controversial speakers, as we've understood and heard. And if you look at the newspapers over the weekend, you'll see why. All right, then we have still people talking about Myers, her views on abortion still not public. And why would she? If you were Harriet Myers right now, would you make your views on abortion public? I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That goes without saying. But the fact of the matter is that we don't have very high expectations for Harriet Myers when she gets in there. All right. Senate's delaying immigration reform legislation also. Sidetracked by hurricanes and Supreme Court nominees, the Senate will not take up comprehensive immigration legislation until January, a leading proponent of immigration law reform said Monday. John Cornyn Republican from Texas, also told reporters he did not expect the Senate to vote on immigration legislation that addresses only border control enforcement without considering the issues of illegal aliens already in the country. So interesting that this is coming up. So for many of us, the whole issue of immigration is quite an interesting topic. So the Congress is now delaying it for another several months before they talk about what they're going to do. We'll find out. Well, that's some of the news headlines for the morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today. In the Federalist Patriot yesterday, we had the comment saying, at the rate of government growth, conservatives will soon be longing for those laissez-faire Clinton years. They're just talking about how out of control things are with George W. Bush and the Republican Congress at the helm, not fiscal conservatives to say the least, and going just the other way under the guise of wanting to protect us all from terrorists. It's a sad case, state of affairs, to say the least. All right, what else have we got going on here? Well, we got another email coming in about the hate crimes thing we read about earlier, and we'll go ahead and skip over that for now. God Bless America signs stir atheist protests. City Hall seeking to honor U.S. troops serving in Iraq. WorldNetDaily.com posted on October 15th. An atheist group is complaining about two signs posted outside the City Hall of New York State that declare God Bless America. But the signs hung by a Long Island official outside the Tongue of Babylon, New York, are perfectly legal, according to a group of specializing in constitutional law that has volunteered to defend them. The phrase God Bless America does not violate the Constitution, said McCaleb, a senior counsel for Alliance Defense. Can you imagine? You can't say God Bless America anymore with these freak groups. They're so out there in hatred of God that you can't even post a sign that says God Bless America anymore. I wonder if you could still sing the song God Bless America. I don't know. It sounds pretty scary. Here's Rehnquist Legacy, Part 1. This is by Jane Rowe. We read her stuff occasionally off of Fox News as the research staff finds her. Although Chief Justice William Rehnquist would probably go down in history as one of the justices who sided with President Bush in the contested 2000 election, his true legacy may well reveal him to be a uniter of a deeply divided court. It is a strong competition between him and Earl Warren for being the most successful Chief Justice, said Martin Belsky, professor at the University of Tulsa College. Although Rehnquist was known as a great dissenter before President Reagan nominated him for Chief Justice in 1986, he found himself on the losing side of such high-profile cases as Roe versus Wade. The court's leader was able to coax the judges into majorities, all the while retaining the respect of his ideological opposites. So that's an interesting perspective, to say the least, on Rehnquist. There's also a continuation of the story a little bit beyond with on Fox News about Rehnquist's legacy. And that simply says, upon being handed the top position in the Supreme Court in 1986, William Rehnquist reacted to civil rights activism of former Chief Justice Earl Warren's court by reviving states' rights and applying a more narrow interpretation of the Constitution. Rehnquist's reputation as a fair-minded jurist earned him widespread bipartisan admiration throughout his tenure. However, he frustrated many on the right who had hoped he would side with more socially conservative positions. While Rehnquist's philosophy is often lumped with Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, two justices who seek to apply the original intent of the Founding Fathers, Chief Justice was willing to reinterpret the Constitution to changing times. So he wasn't quite as conservative as people thought he would be, and that is truly his legacy. Here you have Justice Thomas blocking the abortion order. Speaking of conservative justices, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, after a frenzied day of appeals, Missouri officials won a last-minute Friday night stay from the U.S. Supreme Court that blocked a federal judge's order that would have required corrections officials to take an inmate to St. Louis abortion clinic today. Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon spokesman Scott Holstein said he was informed of Justice Clarence Thomas' stay just before 10:45. Of course, what came up after this is eventually they all voted later on unanimously, including Scalia, as I understand it, and Thomas, to let him go ahead and go with the lewd, terrible act of abortion. Well, what do we know about Harriet Myers this morning? Well, there's a couple things that have come up in the news about Harriet Myers. We can take a look at those. This was on Fox News. Rice, that's right, old Condi, defends Myers for the high court. Criticism of Harriet Myers as an unqualified crony of the president is unfounded, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Sunday, praising the Supreme Court nominee for a probing intellect that will make her a great justice. Okay. President Bush earlier this month chose Myers, a longtime confidant who has never been a judge, to replace retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Since then, Myers' nomination has caused division among conservatives who say it was a risky choice because she is so blank slate on issues such as abortion and gay rights. Senator Dianne Feinstein remained open to voting to confirm Myers, citing in part the conservative criticism. That's good. Good thing if conservatives criticize as far as Feinstein goes. Of course, they call people conservatives today, folks, which really, as far as we're concerned, are just liberals or leftists or neocons in conservative clothing. That's what a neocon is, a liberal in conservative clothing. Well, here's WorldNet Daily, Jerome Corsi, and he's writing the following about Myers. Myers meant to keep a lid on lottery scandals. She did, huh? Okay, this is what was posted on October 17th. The pattern of criminal influence buying that put a Texas lottery contractor's national sales director into federal prison may have reached into Governor George W. Bush's office. Sources close to the state's lottery scandals, while Bush was governor, told WorldNet Daily Harriet Myers was put on the Texas Lottery Commission to keep the lid on the scandals and to make sure investigations were stopped before embarrassing inquiries reached the governor himself. The key to understanding these controversies is Larry Litwin, the lottery expert, who was suddenly hired as executive director in June 1997 to clean up the mess involving contractor G-Tech, and was then abruptly fired in October 1997 when his investigation was becoming uncomfortable for Bush. So this is a story about Litwin and how Harriet Myers might have been used to be, you know, bring in and just keep the lid on things there or cover something up at the Texas lottery location so that George Bush himself wouldn't be implicated by all of this mess. So Harriet Myers could be the cover-up woman, the one who comes and cleans up the mess, or makes sure that the mess doesn't spread at least, and then that way George W. Bush, maybe he really did owe her a big favor. Maybe all along she's been pushing that she wants to be a Supreme Court justice. It could be. And she's just sitting there saying, George, you know, you could have gone down in flames in Texas, and here you're not going to have to go down in flames because of what I did for you. You owe me a favor, bud. I'd like to be a Supreme Court justice. Make me the nominee. Could be. Makes some sense to me. I don't know if it makes any sense to you. Give us a call if it does. 864-244-9904 is our phone number. 864-244-9904 or 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. So, Harriet Myers still in the news. Major stuff going on. What else is in the news? Well, 1,975 members of the U.S. military have died since the war in Iraq began in March 2003, according to the Associated Press count. Thank you for sending that number up to me. I've always liked to keep track of that number. We get sort of bored with the number of people being killed every day because it's just so many people being slammed and destroyed. It's an awful, terrible thing. It's a tragedy going on over there, as it's been from the very beginning, and we're sad to see it happen. All right, well, we have a couple other things going on here. Wow, there's just so many news stories that we've missed this Sunday. I don't want to miss out on talking about the Christian Exodus conference. We've had papers from Columbia, Spartanburg, and Greenville reporting on it, and we're going to go ahead and after the top of the hour break talk about that some more. We've had just so many people commenting on it, and it's good. It's good that we have that many pieces of news. But let's save that for when we come back and do the whole next half hour on the Christian Exodus event, if we possibly can. Here's the U.S. being amazed over Mugabe's invite to Rome by Dennis Barnett in Rome, Italy. United Nations invites the butcher of humans to the Hunger Conference. October 15th news report. The United States has expressed amazement at a United Nations invitation to Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe to address a hunger conference in Rome on Monday to mark the 60th anniversary of a food and agricultural association. I find it amazing they invited Mr. Mugabe to speak to the 60th anniversary, who in a way has done so much to hurt the hungry and who has absolutely turned his back on the poor, said Tony Hall, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Food Agencies in Rome. Very, very interesting indeed. So, Robert Mugabe has killed at least 100,000 people in his own country. He's a mass murderer. He's a scumbag state leader. And the U.S. is right to point out what's going, you know, that this is, they're shocked to have this guy there. Except that, folks, this is what the United Nations is all about, isn't it? I mean, when has the United Nations ever truly promoted peace anywhere? The United Nations is there to promote a new world order. It's there to promote socialism. It's there to promote tyranny over people and plundering of their rights and allowing the state to be the master of all. So why wouldn't they invite Robert Mugabe in some sense? Makes some sense to me that they would. All right, here's something from Gray Echoes. This will take us to the top of the hour. God is sitting in heaven and this is called God the Scientist. God and the Scientist. God is sitting in heaven when a scientist prays to him, God, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out the way to create life out of nothing. In other words, we can do it now at what you did in the beginning. Oh, is that so? Tell me, replies God. Well, says the scientist, we can take dirt and form it into the likeness of you and breathe life into it, thus creating man. Well, that's interesting. Show me. So the scientist bends down to the earth and starts to mold the soil. No, 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 interrupts God. Get your own dirt. Can't use my dirt. You got to use your own dirt. Yes, good point. All right, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Be sure to check out tyrannyresponse.com, and if you can volunteer some efforts to help with the Tyranny Response Network, we greatly need your help. Go to tyrannyresponse.com and go to the Contacts tab. Click on it. Email anybody there if you're able to help with radio signals or technological issues with computer networking, or even be a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview Show. Be happy to hear from you. And we're going to go to the top of the hour break. Stay tuned and listen to the Bill of Rights as they play again. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 18th day of October 2005. Glad you joined us today. We're the station that's here to make you help you think better. We're trying to do just that this morning. Let's have a quick look at the weather before you're making your way out the door for work.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 49 degrees. Downtown, 48 degrees. Anderson, 46 degrees. Clemson, 49 degrees. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Southeast winds, around 5 miles per hour. And here's a quote about guns from an unknown author. It says, Guns only have two enemies, rust and liberals.
That's right. We've got to protect those guns from the liberals. We like guns here. We're going to talk about guns some more in my comments at the Christian Exodus meeting in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk about another supporter of gun rights. That is the Times Examiner, which is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative, as true conservative or constitutionalist, and pro-life libertarian columnists. And the Times Examiner also supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. Full year subscription is only $25, $27 out of state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to start your subscription. You can also place an ad in the Times Examiner. It's relatively inexpensive. Helps the paper, helps your business. Call David and ask for him directly at 859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. There is a new book out by Stephen Yates called The Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. It is written by Dr. Stephen Yates, a local favorite. You can get a copy of it by writing your check out to the Worldviews Project, sending it then care of Dr. Stephen Yates to 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina 29615. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina 29615. Well, what happened this weekend at the Christian Exodus Conference? Well, it's all over the news, everywhere. In fact, in the upstate, at any rate, and even down to Columbia, and maybe further. That's just the ones people have forwarded to me. Here's a couple of stories. For instance, Exodus leader describes his plan. Alexander Morrison, a staff writer, this came up out of the Spartanburg area, the Spartanburg Herald Journal. The Exodus was a televised, but it was not well attended. A gag of reporters and about 50 supporters from as far away as Oregon came to Greenville Hilton Sunday morning to hear Corey Burnell's plan of turning South Carolina into a land of Christian constitutionalists. Burnell's group Christian Exodus hopes to control state politics by 2016 through mass immigration. To date, 12 members have moved to the state, according to Burnell. Well, this is an interesting count because although there might have been 50 people there at some of the lectures, especially some of the more drab ones, a lot of people walked out because they didn't agree with the neocon influence. We have instead is other reports saying there were as many as 130 people there. My guess is that all the time it averaged around 80 or 90, but this apparently wanted to talk about far fewer people being there, so they used that number. A number of about 50. Well, this thing is full of all sorts of questionable quotations. For instance, towards the end of the article, the reporter says he was quoting me in my speech there. He says, "Opinion was divided about some issues, even within the Christian Exodus camp." Well, that's true. That's true about in general. If you were there at the meeting, you'll know that's the case. If you listen to the last few speakers, for sure, and contrasted them with the first few. John Coben, for instance, it says, a local Christian talk show host railed against many things, condemning late-term abortions with graphic description and calling President Bush evil. Those are true statements. The Tyranny Response Unit did do both of those things and is not ashamed to have done both of those things, by the way. And Dr. Coben also would have condemned, by the way, early-term abortions, too, and could have called President Bush, as well as the rest of his cabinet and most of congressmen, evil on top of it. And I'm not ashamed of that fact, folks, because I'm just telling you the truth about it. It may be shocking to you to hear it, but that's just the way it is. Coben appeared to be a militant advocate of the right to bear arms. How do you be a militant advocate of the right to bear arms? Am I a militant advocate of the right to bear arms? I guess that's right. That's true. I'm a militant advocate. So was Thomas Jefferson and George Mason and Samuel Adams and many others. So I feel like I'm in good company there because they'd all be militants in there as far as this guy's concerned. Encouraging the audience to shoot any police officer who tried to take them away. A preacher should carry his .357 Magnum with him because he is going to be attacked, Coben added. Now this is where it gets a little bit sketchy. First of all, Coben did not say that we need to shoot any police officer who tried to take them away in that crass sense. And I don't even think I used the word police officer. What I was relating to people, and I think it came across quite clearly, is when we have situations like New Orleans, they're very similar to the Lexington, Massachusetts area in around mid-1770s, when the British came to take away those people's guns. And at that point, I said, look, if you're going to have a choice between liberty and losing your guns, then you need to shoot any federal officer that comes to try to take them away. So I don't think I used the word police officer. I think I was referring to the federal officers installing a martial law throughout the land. In fact, as far as I know, many police officers are in favor of what I've said, because they don't believe either that people should be disarmed by these federal goons. But of course, the press is slanting this, that I'm actually out to shoot police officers. Further, nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, in my own writings and articles and elsewhere, even at this meeting, I'm very much in favor of local law enforcement, because I think that's where all decisions should be placed. We should have a decentralized government. And I do think preachers should carry 357 Magnums or better, or any other gun they want for that, as far as that goes, because they will need to defend themselves against thugs. But I don't think that's what I said exactly. At any rate, I don't recall saying what the press says I said. But these people are frequently media whores. They say what they want to say, and their whole choice of what they choose to print is questionable. Remember, folks, that this was a long conference, and my meeting was at least an hour, maybe more than an hour. I was asked to do a full hour lecture, and then during lunch, while lunch was being served, they asked me had a question and answer time, which I specifically talked mainly about Abraham Lincoln and criticizing him for his demagoguery, his shiftiness, and his evil policies and his scoundrel nature, as well as talking about allodial property rights and the need to have absolute property rights. Before then, I spent most of my lecture discussing how perverse incentives lead to government failure, using the example of trying to control smog with government failure, bureaucrats. If you use government bureaucrats to control any kind of problem in society, you end up having what? A permanent level of that, because the bureaucrats have a perverse incentive to not lose their jobs. Simple economic theory, that you don't get rid of problems by using government to solve them. You just create a lower level of it that's permanent. And that was most of my conversation. At the beginning, at the outset, yes, indeed, we talked about, and mentioned in passing, things about gun rights, things about abortion and some other issues. Proudly, just mentioning that I could speak about all those things, and I'm passionate about those, but that we we're not going to cover any of those in great detail that day. Now, I would also say that during my meeting, my speech, I had to stop at least four times because the applause from the audience got so loud, especially when I was criticizing the public school and George W. Bush for his policies, his foreign policy in particular. The applause got so loud I had to stop. So there was definitely support for what I was saying, and I had many people afterward come up and say so. There were some things, a few things here and there some people might have disagreed with, but my response to that is, so what? You know, I sat there and listened to these other people talking for, 8 hours, and I disagreed with many of them. In fact, I can't say any of them I agreed 100% with on every issue, either the way they presented it or the slant they gave to it or just the facts they got wrong. I didn't like it. That doesn't mean I can't listen to something or that I find the whole thing objectionable. I mean, folks, if somebody is really, into that situation, they need to sort of stop, take a step back, maybe grow up or think a little bit about what they're doing, because, frankly, folks, you're never going to get 100% agreement out of any speaker you listen to. Well, not never. Rarely are you going to find somebody you agree with 100% of the time. But so what? You can still learn something from them. You can still applaud them for the good that they do. And so, let's not give way to these lefties who are looking at anything they could to find a way to criticize my speech, even though the vast, vast majority of it they don't even mention. They just try to pick out one little piece. They don't want to learn anything from Dr. Coben. No. We gotta do whatever we can, find whatever we can, hunt up whatever we can to excoriate him in the press. That's what they're all about. No surprise, as far as I'm concerned. That's the way the press frequently does things, as one of my friends here calls them, the media whores. Well, they weren't the only one to give these kinds of criticisms. We had other people as well. For instance, the we had the Greenville News coming up and talking about basically the same thing. They were a little more reserved at the Greenville News than other places. I think they're fairer at the Greenville News than Spartanburg was. I really do. They didn't say I wanted to shoot police officers. They did point out the same thing that I thought: you should defend your right to bear arms, just like the founding fathers did. Defend yourself, that's fair enough. So I appreciate the Greenville News giving us so much press. Now, there are other speakers there that also caused them a lot of grief. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about some of what the other speakers had to say as well, because there was a wide variance of opinion on certain things. And you could see them sort of keying in on those issues which they hated the most. The press just hates Christian exodus around here, evidently. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, here is another one of these articles that came out of from the state newspaper down in Columbia. Christian Exodus holds a seminar. About 130 attend the conference to learn more about the separatist group. This is written by Christina Lee Knaus, I guess, in Columbia. By 6 p.m. Saturday, Corey Burnell had a long day. He had spent the bulk of it running from one corner of the Greenville Hilton Hotel to another, giving interviews, leading panel discussions, and listening to speakers other than offer their perspectives on everything from terrorism to anti-sodomy laws as part of the weekend-long meeting for Christian Exodus, the Christian Constitutional Separatist Organization. Burnell, 29, founded in 2003. About 130 people had come from and around South Carolina, as far away as Minnesota, Southern California, Texas, and Virginia to attend the three-day conference, which had the goal of offering people more information about Christian Exodus's mission. That mission moved thousands of evangelical conservative Christians to the South Carolina to influence government and eventually form a new state government based on the Bible and strict interpretation of the Constitution. The day had been mostly smooth, Burnell said, except for a few glitches. We're still in our infancy, and we had a group of speakers here, all with different opinions and perspectives, Burnell said, looking tired but still crisp in a light tan suit. We could put together a lineup where we weren't going to have some fires pop up We couldn't put together a lineup where we couldn't have some fires to pop up, and where we weren't going to have to put a line on the program, like the one that says that speakers' opinions are their own, not necessarily Christian Exodus's. Brunell was referring to speakers like Larry Kilgore, who is running for governor of Texas in 2006, on a platform that calls for Texas to secede from the United States and become an independent republic with laws based strictly on the Bible, especially on Old Testament rules set down in the Book of Leviticus. Kilgore's speech, and he's certainly a theonomist. The problem with he came across as sort of a country bumpkin way he spoke, and it, when you mixed it with the hardcore theonomy he preached, it really looked a little bit doubtful, or maybe laughable to some people, what he was saying. He was advocating the death penalty for kidnappers, rapists, as well as adulterers, homosexuals. And I suppose he would go even further. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and talk about Sabbath breakers and blasphemers. All of them would be killed under the new state of Texas's republic. He was bold and you know, just blatant about his theonomy. And I appreciate the consistency there. I don't agree, but I appreciate the consistency and somebody willing to come right out and say it. Of course, it really blew away the Christian Exodus leadership when this kind of stuff is talked about right from the... From the pulpit there, from the podium, I should say, and there's some reason to believe so, because Christian Exodus was there trying to promote in a practical sense, trying to get more people to be involved and to put a good light on Christian Exodus, and these kinds of comments for them just made us put Christian Exodus look a little too radical, probably to bring in a lot of new people. But really, I don't think that's what it should have been. I mean, I think that even in my own comments, I wish, and I've already apologized to Corey for some of this, I wish I had said to myself, you know, before I opened the mouth and said, this isn't a good time to talk about what we do about gun rights on the one hand. And I think that's true. At that conference, it probably could have just not been said, because otherwise that's the only thing the press ever reports on, which is what they did, and it doesn't look good. On the other hand, we need to take a stand, principally, for things that we believe. And so I'm glad that people at Christian Exodus, even the people I don't agree with, like this fellow running for governor, Larry Kilgore, are willing to stand up for the views which they have. And I'm glad they're so willing to be openly in favor of what they consider to be biblical principles for government. So I'm glad that that is occurring, and I'm glad that Christian Exodus is full of those kinds of members. As far as the politics of putting together a conference, well, you know, sometimes I guess, you know, especially after something like this happens, you have to just say, look, whatever the Lord wills for this under His providence now, we will make the best of it. Furthermore, we can also all begin writing letters to the editor, talking about how the media has totally slanted the meeting, picked up on a few divergent points from various disparate speakers, and instead of emphasizing all the good things that were said, then go ahead and write in and talk about some of those other things that many a wider audience will like. Go ahead and write in and talk about the fact that Christian Exodus can be made up of people with widely different perspectives on things. Why not? What's the problem with that? Corey went on to say in this article, The one thing that is the biggest misconception about the Christian Exodus is that our ultimate goal is to secede from the Union, and that we end up having a speaker talking about Texas seceding, Brunell said. But that's going to happen. There are going to be a lot of differences of opinion among those who come to these meetings and within the big group. But we kept things unified today, and we will keep things unified if we remember our commonality as Christians. It was Brunell's strong beliefs in evangelical Christianity, as well as interest in strict interpretation of the Constitution, that gave him the idea to form Christian Exodus in 2003, after what he describes as three things that set him off. First, he'd heard about the Free State Project, a plan to move masses of libertarians to New Hampshire to form a state with a libertarian government. That interested him. Then there was a Supreme Court decision striking down Texas's anti-sodomy law. And then Justice Roy Moore having to move the Ten Commandments. So that's really what fired Corey up. And there's different viewpoints on some of those things too. But you know, you gotta appreciate Corey's faith and his commitment to things and his willingness to stand up. After some of the speakers in the afternoon, some people came to me, especially after they heard the one fellow running for office down in Charleston. His name was Arthur Bringelson, and Arthur Bringelson really did a well, from many people's perspective, a very poor job of representing what a constitutional should be. He was embarrassed, so embarrassed by my comments and some of the other comments from Ben Graydon and others, that he could hardly speak anymore at the conference. He's a Republican, and he loves George Bush, thinks he's doing a good job in Iraq, and thought he was doing a, you know, bang up job with the war, and liked his foreign policy. Yeah, it was imperfect, but you know, he's doing the best he can. And he was also gloating about the fact that he went to the public school and had a great education in South Carolina public schools, and went to the University of South Carolina. I mean, this guy is a neocon. I mean, some people don't like the fact that I'm calling him a neocon. Many members there came up and told me, you know, or made some comments that this was, you know, repulsive, disgusting, whatever the word might have been used to describe this guy's viewpoints. How in the world is this guy in Christian Exodus? We're not going anywhere with having this guy there. I mean, this is not where we want to go back to, into the Republican Party. You know, where do I sign up? One person said, you know, just mocking him. During his speech, very few people even applauded, they were not that interested in what he had to say, and I'm sure he felt dejected by that. But he was out of place. He should not be in Christian Exodus. Corey had denounced him as being more or less a Christian constitutionalist, and I don't agree, not from what I've heard. He just doesn't seem like he's on our team at all. But nevertheless, can still sit there and listen to the fellow and hear what he has to say, and then we'll know who we're fighting against and what things to and hopefully strengthen our reasons for believing what we ourselves believe. There were also other speakers there which had really divergent views, things that I thought were kind of bizarre in some ways. Not to say I couldn't learn something from him, but Dr. Hugh Cord is a psychiatrist who spent years researching terrorism. He's convinced they're going to have 10 nuclear bombs set off in major cities in America in the next couple of months. It may be a little longer than he said, but he had dates specifically. I think it was October 29th or 30th, or maybe November 24th, depending, you know, corresponding to different Muslim festival days. He has intelligence. He says that's going to do this, and he also made some comments on the Republican Party to make him think that he's still a true believer in the Republican Party. I think it's just a waste of time, folks, to be anything involved with the Republican Party. Also, some of the Christian Exodus panel members, one in particular, was you know, almost in tears as he talked about the differences that people had, and he just didn't like my comments about Abraham Lincoln, and didn't like this. He had problems with what so many people said, and because he himself was espousing more of a neoconservative perspective. But at any rate, this was the Christian Exodus Conference, folks. This is what it was. It was a diverse conference, a lot of different viewpoints being expressed. Ben Graydon talking about, how the IRS, you know, the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified, and the 14th Amendment, and you know, these kinds of patriot issues, I agreed with it by and large, but for many people it was shocking to hear what he had to say. We had a wide variety of perspectives, and this is diversity on the one hand. And on the other hand, we need to have a place for people that truly want to restore the principles and vision of the founders, an outlet for them to go and be able to share their views. So, unfortunately, Corey was a little disappointed at first. I hope that he's not now. I hope that he's more encouraged as we see how this might be used to further really the God's work here in the world in which we live. So, at any rate, I was more encouraged after looking back upon it, and even in spite of the foibles and little follies that went on here and there. I think it was overall a very good conference and very unifying, and for a lot of the people that heard stuff there among the ranks of the leaders. As far as the press goes, well, they skewered us, and what can you expect out of them? They're always going to pick up on something negative that they hate and go with it from there. Christine, this is another article from Christina Lee Knaus, attendee sentiment, it was anti-establishment, she said, God loves you whether you like it or not. That bumper sticker, seen next to one calling for the display of the Ten Commandments and plastered on one window of a Chevy extended cab in the parking lot of the Hilton Hotel, pretty much summed up the mood of many gathered at the meeting of the Christian Exodus. Christian Exodus organizers wanted visitors to know it's not a cult, according to brochures available on tables as soon as you enter the group's area inside the Hilton. Instead, it's a broad-based, non-denominational Christian project. The group's goal, in a nutshell, is to move thousands. About 130 people showed up, And skipping down a little bit, display table set up by groups with names like the Tyranny Response Network hawked bumper stickers that slammed President Bush and illegal immigration, while a stand set up by the Dixie Outpost in Traveler's Rest offered a Confederate flag mugs, palmetto tree flags, and T-shirts, with slogans like Dixie Baby. There are books on how to get the U.S. government back to biblical principles, as well as other works offering various theories about terrorism and the New World Order. The crowd was overwhelmingly middle-aged white men with a smattering of women. Several young families were present, including Troy and Charlotte Perdue from Halifax, Virginia, who had their 7 children in tow. Troy Perdue of the family had come down to learn more about Christian Exodus, as well as take a little mini vacation. All right. Well, at any rate, she said, the wife said she learned a lot. The basic thing that sticks in my mind is we got gypped by the school system, she said, and she is now homeschools her kids. Well, it's a good thing if that's all she got out. That's good. Hugh Court, who bills himself as a Christian psychiatrist from Birmingham, Alabama, put forth the theory that Osama bin Laden is going to blow up a suitcase, nuclear bombs in 10 U.S. cities beginning next month. Later on, Larry Kilgore demonstrated rebel yells from the podium. Yes, he did. That was cute. Talked about his desire to become Texas governor and secede from the Union, and outlined a plan for laws that would, or in Old Testament fashion, call for the execution of adulterers. George Bush was called a variety of things during the day, including evil, a scoundrel, and not a Christian. But several people stopped to comment that they really liked Bush, like Speaker Arthur Brinkelson, vice chairman of the Republican Party in Dorchester County, said he loved Bush, called him a Christian man, and told the crowd they wouldn't get very far in South Carolina without being involved in the Republican Party. So there you go. Well, so much for the event at Christian Exodus. We'll, you know, if you have some comments or questions about that, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Give us a call. The phone numbers will be coming up in just a minute. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back with the last half hour when we get back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 18th day of October 2005. Glad you joined us. We're the station where you get the alternative news you need to hear, the station that helps you think better. And we're trying to do precisely that this morning, but before we do some more of that, let's take a look at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 48 degrees. Downtown, also 48 degrees. Anderson, 46 degrees. Clemson, 49 degrees. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. And here's a quote from John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Mothers all want their sons to grow up to be president, but they don't want them to become politicians in the process.
Ah, very funny, very funny. Well, here's some wisdom from Robert E. Lee to start off this half of the hour from Gray Echo, sent up by our research staff. Lee's wisdom and thoughts on various topics. We can learn from the character of a man through his own words. General Robert E. Lee's wisdom and thoughts on various topics. Character. As a general principle, you should not force young men to do their duties, but let them do it voluntarily and thereby develop their characters. Choices. I think it better to do right, even if we suffer in so doing, than to incur the reproach of our consciences and posterity. Conduct. We have only one rule here at Washington College, to act like gentlemen at all times. Defeat. We may be annihilated, but we cannot be reconquered. Determination. We had, I was satisfied, sacred principles to maintain and rights to defend, for which we are in duty bound to do our best, even if we perished in the endeavor. Dreams. All I ever wanted was a Virginia farm. No end of cream and fresh butter and fried chicken. Not one fried chicken or two, but unlimited fried chicken. Duty. Do your duty. That is all the pleasure and all the comfort, all the glory we can enjoy in this world. Education. The education of a man or woman is never completed until they die. forgiveness. Abandon your animosities and make your sons Americans. He said, honesty, the trite saying that honesty is the best policy is met with the criticism that honesty is not policy. The real honest man in his honest from conviction of what is right, not from policy. Honor, a true man of honor feels humble himself when he cannot help humbling others. Patriotism, these men are not an enemy army, they are citizens defending their country. And promotion, what do you care about rank? I would serve under a corporal if necessary. Regrets. If I had taken General Longstreet's advice on the eye of the second day of the Battle of Gettysburg, then Confederates would today be a free people. Wow. Well, he has a lot more there. Lee's wisdom. We'll come back and visit those again some other time, I think. Maybe that's a good thing to read sometime after the weather. See those little quips from Robert E. Lee. Great man. Great, great man. Well, we had one more story. I didn't cover too carefully about the Christian Exodus. The Greenville newspaper story said, Christian Exodus has a 10-year goal for state power. This is by staff writer Dan Hoover. Part strategy session, part pep rally, and part coming out party, Christian Exodus met in the upstate this weekend with more enthusiasm than numbers. One speaker suggested gunfire if government officials seek to confiscate personal firearms, and that was yours truly. And that's a whole lot better, you know, that's a whole lot better way to put it than the way the Spartanburg paper said what I said. Because I already told you earlier what I had actually said, and here, that's a fair statement. Another said public education has taught generations of school children to hate America, and founder Corey Burnell said property ownership would be required for the privilege of voting. Burnell said that the national power, Christian Exodus, Christian Exodus would seek to undermine determine whether the 14th, 16th, and 17th amendments to the U.S. Constitution were ratified properly, and if not, put them up for proper ratification. Those amendments respectively guaranteed citizenship, the vote, and rights for the freed slaves, instituted the income tax, and began nuclear population of U.S. senators. 94 people registered for convention. Only about 50 adults sat in on various meetings at any one time at the suburban hotel. 2-year-old group seeks to convince enough like-minded people to move to South Carolina so it can take political power and transform government to reflect Christian values. Well, at any rate, the Greenville News story goes on more. We're not going to read the whole story, but just talks about the various disagreements, brings up Charles Lewis, who unfortunately had some unfortunate disagreements in my mind. But at any rate, brings up a few others in here. They actually interviewed people during the meeting, apparently. And come to think of it, now I do remember, well, after I had sat down, I remember people going around and asking folks questions. I wasn't realizing when I was speaking that that was actually going on, but apparently it was. They would just get opinions from people in the audience. And the Greenville News did, it wasn't too bad a story, not compared to the Spartanburg story. But the press, you're never going to get from the press what you really want or need, I think, in terms of good, solid coverage that makes sense. Well, and there's already been some backlash, you know, from people talking about what I had to say. Well, not backlash, people just comically, look what John said. Look what Dr. Coben said. Anyway. All right, so here's a guy who's frustrated with his president. Before we do that, are we missing any announcements today? Is there anything I really have not announced that we need to yet? You know, Rip and Richie's show is coming up in the afternoon. Hope you have a chance to tune in there. Check out tyrannyresponse.com and tyrannyresponse.net on the web, and you'll find all the events going on in South Carolina, the things that are important to us here for attending political meetings and so forth. And yes, we're talking about the extreme right, the pro-life libertarian types or the constitutionalists. Those are the ones who especially be interested. For instance, tomorrow night you have the Spartanburg Libertarian Party business meeting, and you have the League of the South meeting this Thursday night, and the Carolina Patriots will be meeting this Friday night. This is all on the calendar of the tyrannyresponse.com website, or tyrannyresponse.net website. Just go under events and you'll see it there. In fact, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting in Greenville is at 6:30 p.m., the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. In Spartanburg, the monthly business meeting is the third Tuesday of the month. That's tonight, isn't it? Okay, I've said it was tomorrow. It's actually tonight. The meeting is at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. To talk politics, of course, visitors are welcome to all those events. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground in Greenville on the 8 p.m. at the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown. And in Spartanburg, the Liberty Aplenty meeting is on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. So I hope you can make it to one of those two events. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Now let's go back to this story here. Here's a story where it's obvious that the author of the article is frustrated with his president not living up to his expectations. President Bush must veer right, embrace the conflict. He says, I'm trying to find out who wrote this thing. This is David Limbaugh. All right, David Limbaugh is upset. President Bush must veer right and embrace conflict. I disagree with right-wingers who profess to be heartened by the rancorous debate among conservatives over the Myers nomination. Unfortunately, in many cases, the disputes have degenerated into personal attacks, which are doubtlessly pleasing liberals to no end. President Bush has made a selection, and it's not going to change. He's not going to withdraw his controversial nomination like Bill Clinton dumped his law school classmate Lanny Guinier, the first sign of trouble. Despite Clinton's long-term friendship with the quota queen, he claimed he was unaware of her extremist writings when he nominated her. Unlike Clinton, President Bush wouldn't abandon one of his own in a million years, especially since he has known her well and recently. Give me a break. Who is this David Lim guy? I mean, is he really this sold out? Okay, though I suspect he's been shocked by my conservative opposition to his pick. Oh, come now. Are you really conservative opposition to the pick? Yeah, well, our research staff has a little, come now, they inserted there into the text, if I could see that. That group consists of many people, of people they strongly believe to be originalists, precisely because they have established the reputation of just that, unapologetic originalists. They have been unafraid or forced by circumstances to make their judicial philosophy known to their advocacy, scholarly writings, judicial opinions, speeches, or otherwise. And those are the other people that could have been nominated. And the people who have been skeptical of Myers, and for good reason they should be skeptical. Above all, those people don't want the president to send his signal with his nomination that he had abandoned his goal. Oh, well, he did abandon the goal. He got Roberts on there, and now Myers is the next one. Another stealth candidate, and another way to avoid conflict and get in your New World Order person. Pay her off for what she did for you in the Texas lottery or whatever we were reading about earlier. Anyway, he's got principle all over all other considerations is what Limbaugh hopes out of Bush, but we don't see that. He says, conversely, the surest way that he can end his presidency with a whimper is to abandon conservative principles, and he's done precisely that, David Limbaugh. He's abandoned conservative principles long ago. In fact, you should have figured it out the first term before you reelected the bum. You know, I mean, it's big spend, big government, crazy wars. Elimination of people's rights through the Patriot Act. I mean, this guy, and CAFTA, I can't forget about that, and now it's going to be the FTAA. He is not our man. George W. Bush is doing things to undermine the principles which we hold dear in this country. Well, here's we'll take this quick note. The U.S. must pay to rebuild. This came out from the Washington Times by Bill Salmon. That's S-A-M-M-O-N. Bill Salmon, and he says, President Bush is accused of embarking on a discretionary spending spree to rebuild the Gulf Coast. Yesterday said the federal government is required by law to shoulder most of the cost. We have a responsibility by law to help rebuild infrastructure, Mr. Bush said on his fifth visit to the Gulf Coast since Hurricane Katrina struck. We know Bush is dumb and ignorant and all that, but where in the Constitution or anywhere does it say that we're required by law, the federal government's required by law, to shoulder the cost, to burden the taxpayer with rebuilding New Orleans? Folks, I don't think this exists anywhere unless there's some obscure statute passed by Congress. I mean, come on. It's not a constitutional obligation that the federal government has to rebuild a city after a natural disaster. Nonsense. It's public charity, and it's just given out to pander to political interests and maybe to friends at Halliburton or wherever else. But anyway, you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Look forward to having you back shortly here after we get back from this next break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump right to the phones here. We have a caller on the line. Who am I speaking to? And welcome to Christian Worldview.
Good morning, Dr. Coben.
Oh, good morning. This sounds like Paul.
That's correct.
Very good. Well, always good to hear from you, Paul. What's happening this morning?
Great to hear the show. Well, I was just listening about the neocons at the conference, and it says beyond me how anybody can support GW or any of the Bush clan.
This guy was so upset, Paul. I mean, he's running for another Republican ticket down near Charleston, South Carolina, in Somerville. And he said, you know, I had some comments to make today, but after hearing all these other people criticize George, and he said how he loved being public schooled and how he loved George Bush and blah, blah, he says, I just can't continue with the rest of my remarks. And so he cut it short. Instead of speaking for 40 minutes, he spoke for 15 and made his little, scene on the stage there.
So he had a hissy fit.
Yeah, essentially. But he didn't have much to say. I mean, he knew that, you know, he was a minority there. There's people that wanted freedom in the room, and he's still trying to enslave us.
Yeah. Well, do you think the most neocons even care about or study, GW's business links with the Bin Laden family or the royal family?
Well,
or maybe even his younger brother's involvement with the Silverado Bank scandal?
Well, I didn't hear about that. I want you to tell me about that. But I to answer your question, I don't think most neocons think, period. But the ones who do probably enjoy the fact that there's corruption or payoffs available. And what else is politics for other than to increase your bankroll, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just amazes me how anybody just can support them.
Okay, well, tell us about the scandal you mentioned. That sounds interesting.
Well, his younger brother, whose name just happens to be... to escape me right now, with the Silverado Bank, the Keating scandal,
okay.
Bank savings and loan.
You're not talking about Jeb Bush. You're talking about someone else.
Yeah, his younger brother. I guess can't think of it right now, and I didn't have time to search it before I. But his younger brother was involved in the Silverado Bank scandal, of course. And how many billions did that cost the country? And that's what the Bushes and people, the so-called ruling elite are excellent at. You know, they privatize the profits of their schemes, and then they make everybody liable for paying for it, for the liability.
Yeah.
And they do it year after almost century after century.
Yeah.
And, even his father's link with the Carlyle Group, who's making not only millions with the present war in Iraq, but just selling, selling arms to despots across the globe. They're making money,
mm-hmm.
great profits, and people are suffering for it. How can anybody? I mean, do they not even bother being curious of what these people are up to, or do they just don't care?
I think there's something, the mixing of evangelical religion with neoconservatism is a very dangerous thing, because there's a certain passion that evangelicals have that once they believe something, they're going to hold it tenaciously no matter how ridiculed or criticized they become. And so what happens is once they're sold out to George W. Bush by a few leaders and believe that he's a good guy, there isn't anything that's going to dissuade them from believing that. And there's nothing more obnoxious to them than another evangelical like me or others who just criticize George Bush. And so even if they're all the evidence in the world is stacked against George Bush, they're still going to rally behind them. It's just a mindless, sheepish, foolish point of view, and they don't read it. No, they just go to the leaders and ask for guidance. Now, in all fairness, Paul, I have to say this. Evangelicals are not different than any other group. All of them, all people tend to be sheepish,
mm-hmm.
and follow along with a few
with
favorite leaders.
The people who claim to be in their group.
Right. But that is what happened, I think, with this.
Yeah, but the chimpanzee analogy, hear no evil, see no evil.
Is
that pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a lot of it. That certainly is a big part of it.
All right. Well, listen, I'll let somebody else call and just appreciate another great show.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. We do appreciate your support for the Christian Worldview Show.
Well, you're welcome. You'll have a good week.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, good. Well, we still have time for another caller. If someone else cares to call in, we've got about 5 minutes or so, 6 minutes left in our show today. Health and Lifestyle News, October 16th, 2005. Two new mouse experiments may show how to obtain human embryonic stem cells. Interesting stuff. And here's what the news says. New York, two new mouse experiments may show how to obtain human embryonic stem cells without ethical hurdles, a step that could allow federal funding for such research, scientists reported Sunday. Currently, scientists must sacrifice human embryos to harvest such cells, which can form any tissue type and are seen as valuable for studying and treating illnesses like diabetes and Parkinson's disease. Objections to the embryo destruction have been led to a ban on federal funding for such work, which scientists say hampers research. The new methods detailed Sunday in the online edition of the journal Nature seek to obtain the cells without destroying embryos. The Coalition for the Advancement of Medical Research, which advocates federal funding of stem cell research, cautioned that despite the goal of avoiding ethical quandaries, the new approaches will not sit well with too many who oppose embryonic cell research. Well, that as long as you're not killing the baby, I mean, if you can get the stem cells some other way, I don't think it's a problem. It doesn't hurt the baby. All right, it's a whole different ballgame then, ethically, so I would have to agree with them. Anyway, the Catholics aren't necessarily impressed, though, so far, and maybe there's other things that we aren't hearing about that would lead us to not be impressed, too. But Richard Dorfinger, Deputy Director of Pro-Life Activities for the Catholic Bishops Conference, said the PGD itself is unethical, it poses a risk of harm, and is mostly an effort to select out genetically imperfect embryos, he said. Well, okay. Well, that's interesting. So maybe there's something more to the stem cell project, but at least you have to say they're not killing the unborn children anymore. Most people just don't realize that after 6 weeks, the baby's heart's beating. It's got brainwave activity. At 12 weeks, which is 3 months, you've got an unborn child that is tiny. I mean, it's not even as big as your thumb, probably, or maybe about that big or a little bigger. I don't know. But it's, still has fingers, has, head, has a body like other people do that are more developed than the so-called fetus. And so it's a tragedy when you can just think of somebody either reaching a suction tube in there with a razor sharp edge and slicing up the body of that baby, cutting him up and sucking him out of there. It's just gruesome, and vicious, nasty. What people are willing to do. I think a lot of times, once people see the ultrasound of their baby, their unborn child, they just aren't that as willing to murder him or kill him in the womb. It's just a repulsive thing. Okay, well, what other things have we got in the news? Well, here is one. Should a candidate lose his property because he lost an election? Question that's being asked. If you know anyone there who is still under the illusion that we live in a righteous, just, and free society, this is for them. This is Michael Gosa, the vice chairman of the Constitution Party of Tennessee, new to faithfreedomfamily.com. In a 2004 Montana State House race, Constitution Party Rick Jor won the initial ballot count. Democratic candidate Gene Windham, who came in close second, called for a recount. Both Republicans and Democrats were interested in the case because the outcome would affect control of the Montana House. After an extended struggle, the Montana Supreme Court eventually gave the seat to Windham in a suspicious decision. Jor accepted the decision, and that could have been the end of it. But the court also ordered Jor to pay $15,000 in legal fees to the Democrats' attorney. Remember that the Democrats initiated the case. Jor did not sue anybody. He already paid for his own legal counsel. The Democrats took a risk and won, but now they expect Jor to pay their own bill. And in late August, Jor's bank turned over $543 to the Lake County Sheriff. The bank kept $25 as its fee. The sheriff is now authorized to go after Jor's property to recover the rest of the money with interest. September, Jor appealed to the Montana District Court for protection of his property, but his petition was denied. According to the story in Lake County Leader, Jor said during a hearing, perhaps bringing this to the public's attention is your best hope, and that's what he's trying to do. Can you imagine this guy? I mean, it would have been great if the Constitution Party would have won and beat any Democrat or any Republican for that matter, but then to not win and then not even be able to appeal and then to get slammed with the other guy's legal bills, that is just amazing. That's incredible. All right, and finally today, we have, just sickening. I mean, it's always bad news going on around us. We just need to wake people up to what's really happening, it seems. Frist is to take on the border bill first. Washington Times says, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said yesterday that the Senate will tackle border security and interior immigration enforcement before turning it to a broader question of immigration reforms and guest worker programs. It's a separate issue, but one that people need to understand. The Tennessee Republican said of border security, it's an immediate issue, needs to be addressed more aggressively, and we need to do that. So Frist is going to lead the way in border protection issues. We'll see just how well he does and how well he succeeds at it. We have our doubts, of course. All right. Any rate, it's been a good show today, and we are come to the end here, I think. And there's so many other stories you could have read. We did a good job catching up for a couple days and a weekend. Appreciate Paul's phone call, and look forward to having more of your calls tomorrow to Christian Worldview. Thank you for joining us, the station that helps you think better, and we look forward tomorrow for another great edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you, and be sure to tell your friends about the show.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.